Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, we're in a series right now called Imagine That. So if you want to go to Proverbs chapter, 23, and I'll read just a few scriptures that we've already gone over, and then we'll go into some new stuff today. And if I could, can you help me? Caleb can do it. Caleb and me. Come here, Caleb. Can you get on the other side of that? I got to get my illustration. Whoop. Your shin okay? All right. Okay, who set that there? Okay. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7 says this. It says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." And that's the NASU translation. The ESV says this, "For he is like one who is inwardly calculating." The New King James says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Now the word heart there, and you got to watch this in Scripture, but the word heart can mean mind. It can mean soul. When you think of heart, don't think of a blood pump. Think of the heart of a watermelon. What's the heart of a watermelon? It's just the center. It's everything that's inside the center, okay? It's not the rind, it's the center of everything. So when you think of heart, just think of your center. Now that could mean soul or spirit, but in this case it means soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, okay? We talked about that. If you want to hear that again, you can go back to the first message and check it out there. But anyway, you're talking about the heart here in the sense of the mind. Okay, so what Proverbs is saying here in Proverbs 23:7, he's saying, as he thinks in his mind, so is he. Do you know that we live in a generation right now that God has things in their mind and they're really not that, but they think they are? Did you know that? People get confused in their mind and they think they're one thing, but they're not that thing. It's pretty interesting, and we'll get into this more, but the idea and the thought that the writer of Proverbs is trying to get across here is whatever you've put into your mind, whatever you've accepted, whatever you've downloaded into the computer of your mind, you are that way. Does that make sense? So, and I could go into a lot of detail on a lot of different things, but I need to give you more information first. So just keep that in mind with this thought, okay? So as you think in your heart, so are you. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. We looked at this one as well. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The word heart here means the mind. It means the inner man. It means the understanding. So, I think a better translation would be, keep your mind with all diligence, for out of it, from the mind, is what you will produce in your life. Let me read you another translation of this. I think it'll help you. A definition of this word also is the mind, knowledge, the thinking, reflection, the memory. Now, I didn't just think of that. That's out of the Thayer's Greek lexicon, okay? The NCV put it this way, "Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life." Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. I'm going to say it again. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts, they run your life. They run your life. You got to be careful what you think. Now, if you think about this verse in detail, what is the Lord saying to us here? Essentially, He's saying, you can control what you think. Why is he going to tell you to be careful if you can't control what you think? That wouldn't make any sense. You'd have an argument with God. You'd say, God, but I can't control what I think. No, you can't control what goes on around you and what comes to you, but you can control what you think. You can choose to put your mind in a right place and keep it there. Did you know that? Most people don't know that. They go, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. Stop saying that. You can help it. Okay? Because whatever you put inside of you, those thoughts, those meditations, those images, how you think, those are the issues that, those are the things that will run your life. You will make, I'll put it to you like this. I learned how to button my shirt. I buttoned my own shirt this morning. I did it all by myself. How many of you have ever seen a little kid first trying to button their shirt? You should see Ian. It's hilarious. You got, I button my shirt, Dad, and you got like, you know, does that feel weird, buddy? That's perfect, you know. You know, I never have a problem buttoning my shirt straight anymore. In fact, when I first started doing it, I really had to think about it. But now, I don't even really have to think about it. Why? Because it's just in me. It's just a part of my life. I just do it. I don't have to sit and struggle to tie my shoes. Why? You haven't even remember tying your shoe for the first time or learning how. You know, what is the one thing they do? Something about the rabbit goes round the something and down through the... I never learned that way. But there's some sort of story that goes with it. But now, I don't struggle to tie my shoes. I don't have to buy Velcro shoes. Remember Velcro shoes? When I was a kid, I was like, these are the best! I don't have to tie anything. I just, you know, quick. But I don't struggle with it now. Why? Because I've done it so many times. It's built into my mind. It's built into me. And there are a lot of natural things that you do that are just built into you. You've done them so many times now, like brush your teeth. Hopefully. For your neighbor's sake. It's built in. You don't have to try and think about it. You just do it. Okay? So what we're endeavoring to do in this series is get your mind so in line with who you are in Christ that you just do it. Does that make sense? You don't have to try and wonder if God's going to come through for you. You've just lived in that and built that mindset into you until you know, yeah, He's coming through for me. Well, how do you know? I know. I've built it in. You know, the world will try and build in all sorts of things into you, and the world will build all sorts of things into themselves that are just crazy. I've mentioned this before, but I work with a guy. He has it built into him that he's an atheist and there's no God. Even though creation goes, hello, I'm right here. No. That all happened from a massive electricity slamming into a ball of something or other, goo or that or this, and all of a sudden, wham, we got organization. Man, I wish that worked in cleaning your house. Lord, give me some lightning. No, it doesn't even make logical sense. I don't even need a degree to figure out that that's not true. I don't. You don't look at a watch on someone's arm and go, man, that thing just came together. Even, people are kind of looking at me like, yeah, I know, that's true. Organization has an organizer. Yeah. So, as a person thinks, then they live that way. So this is why the renewal of the mind is so important. Okay, let's go over to Isaiah. And we'll get into the meat of this. Father, we thank You for utterance to speak Your word in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm believing for good stuff that'll help you get free in your mind. Now, we've talked about this before, but I'll say it again. When you got saved, nothing happened to your mind or your body. If you were bald when you got saved, you're still bald. If you were tall when you got saved, you're still tall. If you were short, you're still short. When you get saved, there nothing happens to your body. When you get saved, nothing happens to your mind. Nothing happens to your mind. Did you know that? When you got born again, you still have your memories. God did not wipe the computer clean and then just give you a whole bunch of new memories. What He did is He gave you His written word so that you could see what it is that happened inside you. And that's why the series is called Imagine That, the Power of a Transformed Mind, because we need to transform the way we think. Okay, Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3 says this: "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. As I keep my imagination fixed on the Lord, trusting everything he says and allowing those words to form images in my mind, he will lead me into peace, peace." Now, this word peace is the Hebrew word shalom, okay? This is not my definition of this word. This comes out of Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, okay? And it says this: the word peace means welfare, health, prosperity, and peace. Now, I'm not quoting a TV preacher. That's just the Hebrew concordance. God meant what he said when he said this. This is not something that's made up, that somebody came and tried to swindle somebody out of their money with. Okay? This is the Exhaustive Concordance. In the online Bible Thayer's Greek lexicon, which is Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it says this: "It's completeness in number, safety and soundness in body, welfare, health, and prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility." This is what this word means, okay? It means peace, friendship, used of human relationships. If you have shalom with somebody, you have peace with them, okay? It is this: with God, especially in covenant relationship. You have peace with God in covenant relationship. Listen to me very carefully. God is not mad at you. This is like a huge revelation for some people. Have you ever noticed that? Because the enemy is constantly going, "You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right." Yeah? I wasn't doing it right when God found me. Now, I'm not saying that we should try and do things wrong. What I am saying is that God is not loving you proportional to your right behavior. I'll put it to you like this. I heard a minister say it this way: God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, think about that. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't make it increase. You can't make it decrease. He loves you because He is love. If God was going to move in our lives proportional to our actions, we'd all get what Noah's time frame got. Wipe it out. But He doesn't. He loves us proportional to His love. Okay, so it says this: it's peace, completeness, or welfare, okay? The mind, as defined in this particular passage, is a form. It's figuratively a conception. So the word mind means form. Think about this, and last week I showed you this. It's pottery. Do you remember that pot I had last week that Lauren made? Pottery. It's a form. It's this. It's a graven image. So what is the image engraved in your mind about God? Because that will be the way that your life goes. Make sense? All right. It's a man or formed from the dust. It means that same type of thing, form. It has to do with purpose, imagination, and intellectual framework. So what is he saying in Isaiah 26:3? You will keep him in perfect peace whose intellectual framework is fixed on God. You will keep him in peace, peace. You will remain in peace, peace, if your mind is framed up with the thoughts of God. Okay? Now stay with me here, because this will get exciting here in a minute. But I got to build the foundation of it, otherwise it won't make any sense to you. You will keep him in perfect peace. You will keep him in soundness. You will keep him in completeness. You will keep him in right relationship in his thinking with the Father, whose mind is stayed on God. Your mind lining up with God's understanding and what he says about you is what gives God access to you. When you were born again, God came and lived in your spirit. Once God came and lived in your spirit, there's a renewal of the mind that takes place. Once that renewal of the mind takes place, the life that is in you, in your spirit, then begins to get access into this world. Does that make sense? How many know that when Jesus walked around and he healed people and did different things that he did, whatever he did, manifested, multiplied the fish and the bread, Jesus did not have like a magic trick that he did. His mind was in line with God. And when his mind and his heart was in line with God, as it was, then he heard from God, did what God told him to, and the intellectual framework of Jesus' mind while on the earth was in tune with God. And so were his words in tune with God until he could look at a situation and speak God's words to that situation. And the image that he had in his mind then became what? A manifestation in the life of those around him. Now, I said a whole lot right there, okay, but I could kind of feel you like, so I wanted to tow you along a little bit here. See, you are functioning out of how you see your situation. If you see your situation as helpless, then the mind, the framework of your mind has not been conditioned or renewed to all things are possible with God. Does that make sense? And let me just help you. You have been born into darkness. Talking about your natural self. You were spiritually too until you got saved. But you were born into darkness. So that means everything around you tells you that the Zika virus is going to take over the planet and we're all going to die. Can anybody watch the news? They're going to go to the Summer Olympics and a mosquito is going to take out all the Olympic athletes. How many remember the bird flu? The bird flu, it's going to mutate, and humans, the planet's going to be totally, one third of the population is going to be gone. That's a huge degree in science and medicine with no understanding of God. You've got a mind full of information fueled by fear. Oh, you want trouble in your life? Let somebody have that. I am super smart, but I do not believe in God. We are in trouble if that person is leading. It's going to take over the planet. And what happens with all that? Do you know what goes on? Insurance prices go whoosh. Do you know insurance prices follow the prediction of how many like storm areas, how many storms are going to be in those areas? I mean, we were supposed to be underwater a long time ago. You realize that? I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but all the polar ice caps and the icebergs and all that stuff, they were supposed to have been melted a long time ago. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say they don't know. Okay? So whatever the intellectual framework is of your mind, that's what motivates your life. God will give you peace, peace. Let's go to Romans 12. And we'll end right here. And I'm going to use my sermon illustration now. I'm going to use it with conjunction to Romans 12. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not, verse 2, and do not, somebody say do not, be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I can see a couple of things here, but I do see this right here. The renewal of the mind, or the transformation of the mind, it can lead you to the good and then the acceptable and then the perfect will of God manifesting in your life. The perfect will of God, if you're born again, the perfect will of God is already in you. It's just you have to get your mind in line with what you already have in your heart. Okay? All right, so just think about it in terms of that, like that. So he says here, and do not be conformed. The word conform means to fashion alike. It means to conform to the same pattern. It comes from a Greek word which means to twist together or to gather or to bundle. Like to group in a crowd. You are supposed to do something with your mind. Do you know what that is? First of all, you're not to conform to something. To the world. Okay, now the mind, as we saw before, has to do with what? Framework, right? It has to do with the way you think, the way you see yourself. So what I did is I borrowed some plans here from a friend of mine who works at the Builders Exchange. And I didn't realize they were going to be this big. But they're big. Okay, and this is plans for the Uptown Butte parking garage. They're going to put a nice parking garage in Butte. All right? That's what this is. What is encased inside of this? Did you know this is a parking garage? You say, no, it's not. I can't park my car in that. See, everything in your life started with a plan. It started with information first. Everything inside of these plans, which they are getting heavy. Just going to say, my shoulders are burning just a little bit. All right, maybe I need to work out more or something. Everything inside of this is a parking garage. The electrical framing or plans are in here. The concrete, the foundation, the HVAC, all inside of here. The walls, where the stripes go. You understand what I'm saying? The framework, the building, the actual building, the parking garage is all right here. How do you get it? How does a person get this information and produce a parking garage? They take the construction materials provided, they follow the plans that are written, and then they go to work. This is a parking garage. Now, I'm going to use this in this term. This is the world's way of doing things. And this is the plans that are in the earth that we're to not conform to. Does that make sense? There are plans in the world for your life that the Lord says, ignore, burn, tear up, throw away those plans. I've got a new plan for you. Does that make sense? We are not to conform to this. Okay, so now that we got the parking garage out of our lives, let's go to the second part of this. So that word conform, and I'll say this too. Another word for conform, it's two words. It's con and form. Do you know what one of the definitions for con is? It means to be persuaded by deception. Now, that's Webster's dictionary. The word conform is used, it can be good or bad depending on the substance of behind what's behind it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, because there are other scriptures in the New Testament that use the word conform, and it talks about conforming to Christ. But in this case, the substance is the world's substance. And if your mind is full of the world's substance, the images, the framework, the building of your life will look just like the world's. But let's go over to the second part of this, the word transform. Transformed is the word metamorpho, and we've talked, you guys have all heard this probably before if you've been around church any amount of time, but it means, it has to do with the thought of like a butterfly or a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. So in your mind, by the word of God, now think about this, you're going from a little inchy worm to a beautiful butterfly. Now, think about it in terms like this. The process that takes place in your mind is You went from a worldly place in the spirit. You went from an evil place in the spirit because you were sons and daughters of the devil, and now you're sons and daughters of Christ. So this change has taken place in your spirit. Now you have this next part of you which still has an understanding of how the world thinks, and you think the way the world thinks, and you talk the way the world talks, and you operate the way the world operates, and when things go wrong in your life, you react the way the world reacts. Why is that? Because your mind has not been transformed. If you saw yourself the way God created you, you'd react differently. But a lot of times Christians have in their mind, that's why there are a lot of Christians that look just like the world. And I'm not talking about they smoked a cigarette. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whenever something goes, I'm talking about something of substance. Do you know nobody's gone to hell for smoking a cigarette? I get so tired of that. Well, we're holy. Yeah, but you gossip all over the place. You don't smoke, but you gossip. Good for you. Aren't you awesome? Okay? Jesus said that nothing that enters the mouth can corrupt a man. Hello. Nothing means... He said it goes into the stomach and passes. Don't think about the passing part. Just move on. Just... I am talking about when you see a situation before you, when you look at that situation, does it cause you to crumble? Or do you do what Jesus said, speak to the mountain and command it to go into the sea? Because the speak to the mountain power already lives in you. It's just you haven't let it out because your mind is still thinking about how, you know, your great uncle never got out of debt, so you'll never get out of debt. My parents were broke, then I'm going to be broke. No, you got the wrong mind. Because you, how many think Jesus is broke right now? I ran into some people on that one. What's your thinking? Yeah, you got to get rid of stinking thinking. You need your mind transformed, which means to change into another form. It means this. The word trans meaning movement or conveyance from one place to another. It also means a complete change. The idea of form is meaning to frame, ideas, opinions, etc. in the mind. You are to change your thoughts in your mind from one place to another. And as you do, when things begin to go wrong in your life, you don't look at the old plans in your life. You move on to new plans that God gave you. And out of the new plans, this is actually an airport terminal. The new plans, they give you flight. I just thank you, Holy Ghost. They give you, you start flipping through these new plans and you see Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I've given you all authority in my name. You see Ephesians 2:6. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you've been born again. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. You see 2 Corinthians 5:21 that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on. And if you read the next part of that verse, it talks about tongues, about words coming against you. Those words, those weapons will not form. They will not prosper. Amen. You see 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by His stripes you were healed. You begin to see that you're no longer a child of the devil, that you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of His dear Son. You're no longer a slave to Satan. You're no longer a slave to your circumstance. The one who is in you is greater than anyone or anything in this world. The one who is in you is on the throne. He rules the universe. He sits out and He holds the universe in the palm of His hand. The one who's on your side is not depressed. He's not upset. He's not down. He's not having bad days. He put inside of you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All you got to do is get your mind in line with Him who's in you. Not who's coming out someday to meet you. He lives in you now. Yes, he's coming someday on a cloud. I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying he lives in you now. Don't think of God out there. Just go, Lord. If you don't believe that that's right, read the book of Colossians. It'll straighten your thinking. It is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in... Oh, you got to look at it. Galatians 2:20. I know I'm quoting it, but that's because I'm out of time. I'm just spitting scriptures at you. It's intentional. You say, how do you get that in you? Just read the Word. Think about the Word. Meditate the Word. You know, you've got to turn off dealing with the scars and read the Word. You say, dealing with the scars. Yeah, it's called dancing with the stars. American Ninja's cool, but guess what? It's not going to transform your thinking. Right? You gotta. Well, that's my favorite show. Fast it and see how much you miss it. Yeah, but I won't see who wins the boys. And how is that going to change your life? Don't step on the voice, Pastor Sean. I'll kick the voice, all right? I don't care. It doesn't matter. How is that going to affect you and change you? Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I meditated this morning. Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? Christ who lives where? Where does he live? Where does Christ live? Just take that for an hour and just go, Christ lives in me. Can I ask you a question? What did Christ do while he was on the earth? Think about the things Jesus did while he was on the earth. And he lives where? Stand up. You know, our deal is Faith Family Church, life in Christ. Do you know that's not just like a religious saying? I really believe if you're born again, that the power that raised Christ from the dead, Christ himself, lives in you. And people go, how is that possible? It's spiritual. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, my life changed. Now, I still had mess from that I had to get out of my mind, but my heart was different. I had peace. I had joy. It was unexplainable in the natural. And so this process begins that where you start to allow what lives in you to change the way you think and then to change the way you speak and act. You know, Christianity is not a set of morals. This is not a club. Jesus is not like in heaven going, okay, Ron showed up today. Check. You know you can't go to church and just make heaven. You got to be born again. You have to be saved. You have to have your nature changed. You got to get a God nature. It's such a better nature. It's so much better than the devil nature. Devil nature is depression, down, gloom, no hope. The devil nature says, I'm a tiny dot on this incredible planet. I'm the same worth as an ape. God nature says, I created the planet for you. You're everything to me. God nature says, you are of much more value than any animal that lives on this planet. I made those animals for you. I did not make them to be equal with you. You are not equal, and no animal is equal to you. The blood of Jesus was shed for you, not for some animal. Well, that's abusive. You need to rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. We came from them. That's a lie from hell. Now you got people trying to live like dogs. They get like masked and different. Give me a break. You want to eat out of a dog dish? Do you see what they eat? Have you ever seen a dog how they go to the bathroom. How does a dog clean itself? I am not a dog. Dogs are dumb, man. A dog will walk up to another dog and stick its nose right in its rear end. Yes, we came from that. Well, maybe you, but I did not come from that. Come on, man. That doesn't even make sense. We've got to transform the way we think and resist conforming to the enemy and the way the world thinks. And I'm going to talk about that next, where thoughts come from and how you fight this spiritual battle. But listen, throw away the blueprint about how you were raised. Throw away what happened to your family and the way they live. Well, my dad did this, so I'm going to do this. No. You now have a God nature, and your father is God, and now you're going to do what he does. Some of you got to say this. This is such an uphill battle in some of this stuff. But say it with me. I am a new creation. I allow the Word of God to transform the way I think. My mind is my mind. I decide what I think on. I let my thoughts be framed with the Word of God. And in Him, I have peace. I have joy. I have love. I have strength. I have self-control. I have God's resurrection living inside of me. The same power that destroyed hell and Satan lives in me right now. I let my mind think about that. My images, my imagination will be saturated with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His words, His righteousness, His ways, His blessing, His supply, in Jesus' name. Now, how many feel that much different by just doing that? Do you know you don't need me to lead you to do that? You can do that anytime. God loves me. You know God loves me. Like I heard one guy say, God carries a picture of me in his wallet. Now it would be, God has pictures of me on his iPhone. The devil will come to you and go, oh no, you remember what you did wrong. You say, shut up, devil, get out of here. God loves me. You love your kids, right? If you could help them, would you? If you had a need, if your kid had a need, would you supply it? How much more does God love you? You can't even love your kids as good as God loves you. He loves you. He sits around and thinks about you. Don't try and imagine it. Don't try and intellectually just grab it, but receive it by faith and then allow the Holy Spirit to change the way you think. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. You're so good to us. Lord, I bless your people. Man, if there's somebody here today and maybe you had a relationship with the Lord at one time and you don't anymore, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life back to the Lord. Just recommit to Him. I'm not going to have you come up. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you do anything in that sense. But I'm going to have everybody in here pray. And when we do, I just want you to pray out loud with us. Everybody together, just say, Father God, I come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I got upset. I got turned off. I got confused or deceived, but it was wrong, and I yielded to it. But I know you're a God of mercy and a God of love. And Jesus paid for all my disobedience. And I put my faith in Him. I receive Him and His cleansing. The blood of Jesus, I believe it washes me clean. And the life of Christ completely dominates my spirit, me. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I bless your people and I thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Don't forget about the picnic. If you're a first-time visitor, please get a t-shirt. Please do. And then also, if you haven't got one yet, go ahead and go get one. We want to give those to you. Don't forget about camp this Thursday. And also, we'll see you next Sunday. No Wednesday night service. So we'll see you next Sunday. Blessings.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.